You have your Bibles, open them to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 is going to be our text this morning. It is wonderful to see all of you again. I have missed all of you, and I'm thankful to have the opportunity to be back in front of you and to see your faces. I assume you're smiling under those masks. I'm smiling, and I'm thankful that all of you are here. I've missed you very much. I'm thankful for our live stream. Chad mentioned that just a moment ago. The live stream we've had for a number of years, and the live stream I think has been very helpful to us, especially in the months that we could not meet with one another. The live stream allowed us to have some semblance of fellowship with one another, even though we didn't see each other. We trusted and believed that we were there with one another, and I think in that situation it was helpful. The live stream does a lot of good things. And it does a lot of things well. It does teaching pretty well. It does prayers well. It does and conveys Lord's Supper talks well. The live stream allows people who are visitors to step into our community here, our family here, almost put their toe into the water and see what it's going to be like before they step in. And I think that's good. There are people in this country, in other places where there are not faithful works. And there are people around the world we hear from time to time who are able to join our live stream, and so they're able to have some larger sense of community that they don't have otherwise. And I think that's good. But this has caused some people to begin to think that, well, why do we need to assemble with one another? I mean, if we can do the live stream and have it piped right into our house and get all the things that church does for us, then why do we need to assemble? I think one of the things we need to understand is there are a lot of good things that the live stream does, and I'm thankful for it. And I'm thankful that some of our members who can't get out right now, either because they're sick or because they have pre-existing conditions, I'm thankful that they can join us through the live stream. And I think it's appropriate for people like that. But we need to understand from a biblical basis that there are limits to the live stream. And there's something crucial that people don't get. In a lot of ways, it's like eating this as a Thanksgiving meal. I mean, it's protein. It's, you know, that cranberry sauce or whatever. It's the stuff that we eat, but it's just not the same, right? What's missing there? What's missing? We'll talk about that more in a few moments. The Hebrew writer reminds us in Hebrews chapter 10 that there is something special about what we are doing with one another. And God in His wisdom knew that we needed a sense of family and community with one another. Let's pick up in Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 19 and we'll read through verse 25. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The Hebrew writer speaks to us in this text, and he speaks to us, I think it's interesting, in two ways. First of all, though he speaks of us in a large sense, we, in verses 19 through 23, he's talking about individual responsibilities, things that we have control over as individuals. And then in verses 24 and 25, he shifts to our communal responsibilities with one another. But you and I need to understand that the church is something, and I'm speaking there about not just our assembling. I'm speaking about our community. That the church is important because we are on this journey together with one another. And that's the idea that we find in verses 19 through 23. I was thinking when I was working on the lesson about the song, We're Marching to Zion. So you have this idea of a large group of people, and they're all marching toward Zion. That's what we are here. We are marching together with one another. But at this point, the Hebrew writer is only focusing on ourselves. While we're marching together with one another, there are things we need to be thinking about regarding ourselves. It's almost like if you're in a building that's burning, And we're all trying to get out at the same time. We all see the opening. We're all moving together with one another. And we're all moving together. We have this common purpose that we're engaged in at this moment. And so the Hebrew writer begins to talk about several things here. First of all, our common confidence that we have with one another. Therefore, since we have confidence, what is our confidence? We are entering into the presence of God. We have the confidence to enter the holy places. All right. So the thing that was lost in the Garden of Eden, that sense of fellowship with God the Father, has now been restored to us. And we are moving toward that confidence with one another, that we are entering into the presence of God. How are we doing this? Hebrew writer tells us we're doing this in a new and a living way. It's as opposed to the old law. This is the new law of Christ. We are coming before God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not because of who we are, the things we've done. It is because Jesus Christ. If you really take the time this afternoon, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. And really, you could go back to chapter 8. From chapter 8 on, the Hebrew writer starts building the case that Christ is the central pivotal point of everything. That before Christ and the old law, which is what apparently some of the Hebrew Christians were going back to here, that was what they had, but Christ came along. And because of Christ, and in particular in chapter 10, he argues about the sacrifice of Christ, that it was once for all delivered, and now you and I, because of what he has done, you and I, the Hebrew writer begins to tell us in verse 19, we can enter with confidence before the presence of God. We travel through, the Hebrew writer says, this curtain. You have to go back to the old law, and you have to think back to the temple, and that curtain was the physical thing that separated people, in particular, the priest, from the presence of God. It was a physical barrier, but it's also a spiritual barrier. Because it separated them from the danger of God. And they all understood that. They all understood that that curtain was there for a reason. You don't mess around with the presence of God. And now the Hebrew writer tells us that because of Jesus, it's not just the high priest, but we can enter into the presence of God. And we can have that thing that was lost in the garden. We can have fellowship and we can have relationship. And so because it is there, we all have these common responses as we move together with one another. And the first response is, let us draw near. Let us draw near to God. It's there. It's almost again. The fire, there's the exit. Let's go. That's where we need to be. That's where our hearts long to be. Let's draw near to God. God's presence is there for us at this moment. So we move toward Him. We draw toward Him. And He tells us that we draw toward Him in full assurance of faith. Full assurance. Have you ever seen videos of guys who climb, or girls, women too, who climb cell phone towers? You ever seen a video of someone doing that? It's incredible. It is so frightening. But you watch these videos, and they're like a monkey going up there. I mean, they just start shooting up there. Why is that? Because they've taken all the precautions, and they trust the training that they have been given. And so they move with confidence. They go. And that's the image that comes to my mind as I think about this. He's saying, because of what Jesus Christ has done, let us now, let's act. Let's start moving in our lives. Let us begin to draw near to God with true hearts. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 29, 13 through 14, there was a promise by God, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That is the confidence we have. And we're moving towards that point and we're drawing near to God. And then he said, let us hold fast the confidence of our hope. What is the confidence of our hope? I would suggest within the context here that the confidence of our hope is we can enter the presence of God. Right? This thing that was lost to us, it's there now. So I'm moving. There's another video. I don't watch YouTube videos all the time. I don't want you to get this idea. But there's another YouTube video I thought about when I was watching this. And you can Google this. This is a fascinating video. Last year, Google hang gliding Swiss Alps. There's a video of a guy. I don't know if he was on vacation or if he was on a work venture over there. But he decided he was going to go hang gliding on the Swiss Alps. How cool would that be? Okay.
So the video is of him, and they're getting him in there, and then they take off. They're on the Swiss Alps, okay? And they take off. There's a problem. They didn't strap him in well. So the hang glider takes off, and suddenly this guy is dangling down. They're on a mountainside, guys. There's nothing they can do about it. And so the guy who is, you know, piloting the hang glider, he's trying to hold on to this guy, and they're getting hundreds, maybe thousands of feet in the air. I don't know how high up they are. But the guy who's piloting is trying to hold on to him, but he also wants to keep the hang glider steady. And this is about like a 2 or 3 minute long video of the guy who's piloting trying to get down as safely and as quickly as he can. But the guy who's not strapped in, he is holding fast. He knows he has no other choice. And it's not until they're coming in for a landing and they're about 10 feet off the ground, the guy finally just lets go. I can't imagine what that guy was going through. But he didn't have a choice. And that's the image that comes to my mind when I read this. We are, as we're marching to Zion, we are holding fast to God. Holding fast to what Jesus Christ has done for us. That is where our hope is. We're on this common journey with one another. So I'm doing all of these things and you're doing all these things. But it's not just about our common journey with one another. It is, as the Hebrew writer tells us, about our common responsibility also to one another. That sort of thing shifts in verses 24 and 25. 19 through 23, it's all about our individual responsibility as we're moving together with one another. But the Hebrew writer is communicating to us, this is not accomplished alone. My responses and my confidence, that's not something that is accomplished alone. Instead, the Hebrew writer tells us these things are accomplished within this community of believers, and that community then is vital to one another. So the Hebrew writer tells us that as we're all journeying together with one another, we consider one another. Again, 19 through 22, 23, we're thinking about as we journey with one another, all these things we need to be doing. But in 24 and 25, now we start looking at one another. I'm taking care of myself. But now after I'm taking care of myself, I start looking at you. Charles Robinson, maybe some of you others, I know, John Bartelt. Some of you may have rock climbed before, okay? And one of the things I understand rock climbers do, I've not done it, is, especially when they're rappelling, they check each other's lines. In fact, ask Charles about a little accident he had when someone didn't check his lines, okay? They do that. Why? Because it's not just about their safety. They're assuming a responsibility with one another. And that's what the Hebrew writer is telling us now. He's making this transition and saying, look, it's not just about your journey, but now you've got to start looking at one another. So you start considering one another. And you consider one another for this purpose, he says, to stir up one another. I'm checking your lines. I'm checking your gear. You're checking my gear. And what we want to stir up with one another, I think, I would argue, is everything he's talked about up until this point. Our confidence. And our confidence bound up in love and good works. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. What we start seeing is, as we journey, it's not just about our individual journey. It's about this community that we're a part of and our responsibility toward that community. And that's the reason why the Hebrew writer tells us that we meet with one another. We assemble with one another. It is not a duty that we do simply because we have to do it. And it's more than just encouraging one another. There's a larger painting that this particular stroke is engaged in. And that painting is, we're here because this is something that we need. This is a community gathering of the Lord's people found throughout the book, pages of the New Testament from the book of Acts on. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week when they'd gather together to break bread. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4, when Paul talks about the idea of church discipline, he said, when you are assembled, there was an understanding. That's where they would be. In 1 Corinthians 14,
Verse 26, when you come together,
and that whole text talks about the assembling together. James chapter 2, verse 2,
for if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothes comes into your assembling.
So there's this understanding that Christians, as they are marching to Zion,
they're thinking about not only their responsibility, but they think about one another too.
And the responsibility they have toward one another, because Christians need other Christians.
Redwood trees.
Redwood trees are about 300 feet tall. And so you would think that their roots would be 10, 20, 30 feet deep, because these huge towering trees have remained standing for a long time. Yet the reality is their roots are only about 10 feet deep. It's crazy.
Well, now how do they stay? Because if you go down to the south, where they have a lot of pine trees don't have deep roots. And when there's a big storm that comes through, guess what? You'll see those pine trees knocked over. Redwoods are different.
Redwoods, though they have shallow roots, a lot of their roots, either above ground or underground, are intertwined with one another. Like these. And so they gain their strength from other trees. And because of this, they're able to stay and stand. And from this, and from the Hebrew writer, I really want to emphasize to us as a group, that the Hebrew writer is telling us that church, from God's standpoint, is important. It includes the assembling with one another, but it's far larger than just our assemblies. A lot of times we say, well, we've come together to worship God. And I know some people were concerned for a while when we weren't meeting here. Well, we're not worshiping God. I said before, I'll say again, if you weren't worshiping God, that was on you. This is not the only time we worship God, but it is the time we worship God with one another. And it is the time when we begin to see that we are journeying, not all alone, but we are journeying with other people. It is not good for us to be alone. You remember the story of Elijah? And 1 Kings chapter 18, that great victory. Chapter 19, he's running and he's just convinced he doesn't have anyone else. And God said, there are still 7,000 knees that have not bowed to Baal. That's what happens to us when we are all alone. It's not to say that we can't worship God. But I need to know that I'm not alone. I need to sing with other people. I need to pray with other people. I need to take the Lord's Supper with other people. I need to be with other people. And I need to have saints around me, those saints that I can see. So just take a moment, look around right now. You can do that. Look around right now. All right. And this is about half of our assembly right now. Actually, about a third of our assembly. All right. Think about those times when we were able to gather together with one another that we took for granted. And you know you're not alone. And you may not be as close to everyone here, but you're close to someone. Someone who will be there for you. And so God gives us people because we need people. There was a mail I asked you about earlier. What's missing from that? Well, this is what's missing, right? The people. That's what makes Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving. When we're with others. The meal may not change drastically. Here it does. But even if you had this meal sitting on the table, it would be appealing. But it's not the same thing as having the people. And that's why we assemble with each other. And that's why church is important to us. The elders have done a lot of things to make sure that our time together with one another is safe. And you've seen them in the emails that have gone out in the past. I'll just put them up here again. There is a real danger out there right now, and people do need to be very careful. And we are doing everything we can do to ensure that when people come into this building, as Chad said earlier, this is a safe environment for people. I know there are people with pre-existing conditions who can't get out right now. And you're doing the best you can. And maybe you're watching the live stream. I think you're doing at this point the best you can do. But I'm so thankful that in this journey that the Hebrew writer speaks of,
I'm journeying with you by my side. And I'm so thankful that I get to see you and be reminded that I am not alone. And I hope you're encouraged when we come together with one another. And I hope you learn to value, if you've not already, this special thing that we have, that God in His infinite wisdom has given us, the time for us to come together with one another and be with one another and strengthen one another. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, You are good and we love You and we need You every day. Thank You for the wisdom that You have shown in giving us not only You and an opportunity to worship You, but an opportunity to see one another. Help us to, as the Hebrew writer says, consider one another. And help us to value our time together with one another. Help us to be there for one another. Help us to check on one another. Help us to strengthen one another. Because as we do that to others, others do that to us. Thank You for that. Thank You for our time that we've had this morning in particular. Thank You for the safety that we have here. We pray that You'll continue to bless us with safety. May we go out there and from this moment go out into the world and seek to serve You with our whole hearts. You're a wonderful God. We are blessed, so very blessed to serve You. And our hearts are full of joy as we are with one another serving You together. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. If there is someone here who's not a Christian, you can become a child of God this morning. The water is ready. You can be baptized. All your sins can be washed away. If you need to study more, we'd love to study with you. If you are a child of God, you need strength. You need encouragement right now. You need to know that there's someone who's there for you. We'd encourage you to reach out to a brother or sister in Christ. But if not, if you want to come forward, we would love to pray with you and do everything we can to help you. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come now. While we stand, while we sing for your encouragement.